From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is The Mountain Life, healthy living in the Wasatch, health, nutrition, fitness, and lifestyle. I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
And I'm David Windsor.
Our next guests are Amber Johnson of Connect Summit County. It's the people's voice for mental health in Summit County. She's joined by Lisa Cook, who's a life coach, a speaker, and a writer focused on rebuilding your life after loss. Lisa has lived in Park City for 14 years and was widowed by suicide in 2017. She has now teamed up with Connect to create an inclusive local support group for adults who have experienced loss of a close relationship. They're both here to promote a community support group called Potluck of Love, which meets twice a month. They come to us today, of course, because the holiday season is upon us. It can present significant challenges for those experiencing the loss of a loved one or even a relationship with a loved one. They want listeners to know that there are ways our community provides to deal with this grief. Lisa and Amber, welcome. Nice
Good
to
morning.
Have you.
Thank you for having us.
Lisa, I appreciate you being so open about your story, but why don't we start there in 2017 when your husband died by suicide?
Yes, it was, April of 2017. One of the reasons I went to Connect is because he suffered from mental health, which for me was a huge learning curve. I did not understand what I was dealing with and how to get him help. And so eventually he did end up committing suicide from just what his struggles were. And that's a little out of my realm, but that sent me catapulting into the process of grief.
And because I suppose you had already been a life coach, you were in this space of talking about being open with, and you were a communicator and talking to anyone you came in contact with professionally and probably personally as well about things that are beneath the surface.
Right. That's a huge part of mental health. And one of the reasons I love Connect is that they're really focused on getting the stigma to go away. Like the stigma around suicide, the stigma around mental health is so traumatizing for the person that's suffering and the people that are trying to help them. There's so much shame. And so right from the get-go, as soon as he died, one of my messages to my children and my friends and my family was, we're not going to not talk about this. It's okay. He was sick. And that was what he needed to do. And I'm not saying it's okay, but it is what happened. And to not talk about it was just as bad as what had happened. It was really tough.
This specific topic for me came at a really intimate moment. A dear friend of mine just lost one of their parents, and they were telling me that they didn't really know how to move forward or what to do with this. Are there specific techniques one can go through in the initial coping phase to kind of help soften the shock of losing a loved one?
I want to be really clear that I'm not a therapist. So going to a therapist is huge, and getting professional help is wonderful. As a friend and a family member, or like you losing, you know, trying to help a friend, one of the things that, I don't know if I heard it or it just kind of hit me on the head, was grief is incredibly physical. And so you get tired. It's hard for you to remember to do things. Your mind gets really foggy. And as a friend, just helping them remember to get the garbage out or to eat. Like, you forget to eat. Or Amber and I were talking about taking a friend out to go snowshoeing, get some fresh air, maybe walk their dogs. And so remembering that you're not, you feel like you're functioning, you feel like you're a human being, you can get up and get out of bed, but you're not all there. And so the best thing to do is admit that you need help and be open to letting people help you. It doesn't make you a weak person. It makes you a strong person, because you're going to make mistakes, and there's a lot to take care of after someone passes away, and you still need to take care of yourself. And in my case, I still had kids that needed my care. So I can't say there's a 1, 2, 3, but the biggest thing for me was how physical it was and how much your brain can't function right for a while.
So the support system, someone like me who hasn't lost the loved one but is a dear friend to someone, is there a fine line that I need to be aware of when approaching this person, or is it okay for me to reach out to them and, like you two, went snowshoeing? And is there anything I need to be aware of as I'm reaching out to offer my support?
I am so grateful that you asked that question. And this is something that comes up a lot in our potluck of love. We kind of laugh about how people approach us or don't approach us. The best thing we have all agreed is when someone says, I have no idea what's going on and I'm here. So what would you like me to do? Because when you say, call me if you need me, we won't call. And I was really clear with my friends and family. I will not pick up that phone. I don't know what I need. If I get up and I get out of bed and I get my dog walking my kids to school, I'm feeling pretty okay. But I did need someone to come clean my house or to bring me food or to remind me there was a deadline at school for something going on. And just to be there. It's a very lonely process, even when people are around you. But just saying, hey, I'm going for a hike. Would you like to come with me? I've had to let friends and people go that were saying things they meant well. And it's very hard for all of us. It's hard for you as the friend, and it's hard for us as the person that lost someone. But to say, I have no idea what you're going through, but I can go on a walk with you. Mm. Right? Because you don't. And the crazy thing to me during that whole process was I didn't know what I was going through. I can tell you now because I can step away from it. But man, if you asked me for about 3 or 4 months in there, I don't know. I have no idea what I'm going through. It's every day is new, and you never know when you're going to get triggered by a song or a person, or you drive by something, you're like, oh my gosh, this is where we had that great dinner or whatever. And you can't plan for that. That is not on the calendar. Mm.
So much of what you're talking about is bringing back this sort of flow of memories throughout my life of different people who have been through stages of grief. Mm-hmm. And this sounds simplistic, but the ability to respond to grief ourselves or respond to those that we love who are experiencing grief is, it's human nature to not know what to do. Mm-hmm. And the simplistic story about my son, whose best friend, when they were in fourth or fifth grade, lost his dog, kind of mm-hmm. tragically. And I remember trying to coach my son through, it doesn't matter what you say, just say something. Mm-hmm. And he didn't want to because he said that his friend might forget about his dog. And if he brought it up, then his mm-hmm. friend would remember about his dog and feel really sad. Mm-hmm. And I think that although that the innocence of a child, we as adults experience that exact same thing, mm-hmm. that we don't know what to say. And if it's been a year or if it's been 2 years, it's never the space is never too long that you can't still say something, mm-hmm. but we don't know what to say. And so many don't say anything at all. Mm-hmm. And so help us through that part.
Right. That's such a great point. I think it was last Christmas I posted something on Facebook about don't be afraid to say something about the person we've lost. We think about them all the time, and we want a chance to talk about them. Yeah. We're the ones that don't want to bring it up because we don't want to make you feel uncomfortable. So some of my favorite stories are when somebody says, oh my gosh, I was just thinking about Dave the other day. Remember when he did this?
Yeah.
And you know, would tell a funny story about him. It was really funny. And it would make you, it makes me feel good. I'm already sad. I know he's died. Yeah. You know, none of that is shocking to me. I think about him every day. Certainly my kids do too. And so we're not upset when you bring him up, especially in a great way. And it's something that you remember or something that was funny. Or ask me, like, how did he like to handle Christmas? Or what was your favorite memory with him? Mm-hmm. That's another reason we started Potluck of Love. It's one of our favorite things to do is kind of pick a theme for the month and talk about it. And it gives us a place to talk about that we don't feel uncomfortable. But that's a really, now again, this is just me, right? Now somebody else might not want you to bring that person up. So it is a really individual process. And we've often said the circumstances are really different for people. If you've lost someone after caregiving for them for a year, it takes a long time to just unhook from all of that giving versus losing someone very shockingly one day when everything was going fine. So we all have different stories around how we lost someone, but most of us really like talking about that person. We want to be able to tell you what we miss and what we loved about them.
We're speaking with Lisa Cook, who is a life coach, who's talking about the loss of her husband several years ago, 2.5 years ago. We're also speaking with Amber Johnson, who we've yet to bring into the conversation, who's with Connect Summit County. The pair have teamed up for what you've already mentioned, Lisa, which is Potluck of Love. It is a twice a month meeting for those, once a month, who are grieving. And so let's go into those who are grieving. And Amber, you can share your personal story. You've recently lost your mother after 30 years of her suffering with MS. And you've written about it. You're a prolific writer, and you wrote a beautiful article about it. In that article, you say you grieve sporadically. Can you explain that?
You know, it's interesting. I recently saw a quote calling it glitter grief. And basically, when somebody passes away, you throw up this big, huge pile of glitter. And after it happens, you try and gather all that glitter and all these memories in. But sometimes just out of the blue, things happen, or you find some of that glitter and it takes you back to that place of great loss. And that's how I have felt this season with my mother passing away. As you mentioned, it was a 30-year battle. So I felt like I was mourning her from a very young age. And but the one thing that she did that I am so grateful for was she instilled so many amazing traditions around the holidays, around our family life. And so I've been pretty fine up until like the holidays. I was unpacking the tree with my daughter, and so many of the ornaments were sent to me from her. And I encountered an ornament that I'd never noticed before, and it was obviously sent by her. It was this little bear with lace, which she loved, but it said, "Mothers are really like angels in disguise." And I stopped, and I just wept, and I just thought, you know, she probably thought nothing of that when she sent me that. It was probably sent to me as my first season as a mother. And I just thought, how amazing that my first Christmas without her, that I can have that comfort and that memory of what an amazing, thoughtful woman she was. And so for me, it's really instilled within me the importance of traditions with my children, because I'm not always going to be here. So I want them to have wonderful memories of their mother. So, you know, there's lots of hard things in families, but you know, if we can just hold to the really wonderful, happy times, I think that makes a difference when our loved ones pass away.
I think it's really special what you ladies are doing with the Potluck of Love, and it's more of a celebration of life. It seems like it's not grieving, it's talking about the wonderful moments and how this person inspired you and uplifted your life. And what about someone who isn't ready to face that memory in a support system or in a public setting? How would you steer that person towards starting their journey towards the grieving of losing a loved one?
Well, you do need people to support you. And I wish I had a really brilliant answer for that. It's important not to do this alone. One of the things we say at Rebuilders is you're going to go through this alone, but you don't have to do it alone. We all have our own journey through whatever we're going through. At Potluck of Love, we really do, for me, I should say, I started it because I don't have family here. So I didn't have anywhere to go for Sunday dinner just to have a sense of normal in my life. And so this became an extension of Sunday dinner for me. So that's how it started. If they're going to go ahead, I would just find one person that you can really trust. And by one person, I mean someone that's not going to judge you, that's not going to give you advice, that's not going to tell you how you should or shouldn't be feeling. And sometimes that person's hard to find. So it might be finding a new person, it might be finding a therapist, it might be writing, but the people that you've had in your life might not be the perfect person for that right now. I had great therapy both going in before his death and coming out of it. The Sharing Place is a phenomenal program down in Salt Lake for kids, and so there were other adults there that I could talk to. But it is something you have to decide what you're going to do. There's great programs at our churches around, too. It's important to understand that it's not a sit around and cry. Grief is not about sitting around and being sad. Grief is about getting it out of your system and moving through it. It's just like joy and happiness. It's just the other side of it, right? Like sometimes we're really happy and joyful and we move those things through and we do great things, but we don't stay there. And I feel like grief does the same thing. It needs to move. Or I've said kind of coming into this, if you don't deal with grief, you really are going to start struggling with depression and anxiety and loneliness, and then you just have more to deal with. So
Amber, circling back on your holiday experience, obviously the holidays are a time where we all have memories of loved ones. What are some of the tips you'd give to people during holidays to cope with the suffering and the struggles that they're dealing with, bringing up all those memories?
You know, like I said, tradition's a big one. I think also for me, it has been service. I have a very awesome mother-in-law who came to us this year, and she said, "This year, we're not going to give gifts to extended family, to each other. I want you to take that money you would have spent on us, and I want you to look around you and to be in the community and to serve and to give back." Mm-hmm. And so we said, okay. So we figured out how much we'd budgeted for these gifts. And it's been an amazing experience for me because we've had a few other isolated instances where we've given to toy drives, where we've given, but it's changed our mindset to not just internally, it's mm-hmm. externally, it's everything. You know, like I was mentioning before we came in here, I went snowshoeing. I took a friend snowshoeing who recently lost a family member to suicide yesterday. And I said, you know, we want to do something for you. What can we do for you? And I told her what our family was doing, and it made me realize that it's not just about toy drives for the holiday season, which are so important, and there's so many children in need, but there are people who are grieving, who are suffering. And so I said, we want to do something for this family, you know, your daughter who lost her husband, and what can we do? And like Lisa said, it's, you know, when you keep it open-ended, like, let me know if you need something. I was very direct. I was like, what does she need right now? Mm-hmm. And so she gave us an action plan. And so I went back to my kids and how do we feel about this? And my daughter's a beautiful artist. She's like, I'll paint her something. And if she needs money, let's get her some money, but let's go over there and be with her. And so it's been a tremendous lesson for us on just reaching out. And I hope that we do this every single year, that, you know, that we're not just kind of putting some, you know, buying a few toys and being done with it. Like, it's really changed our entire mindset of service and charitable. And it's just brought a lot of joy to our family this holiday season.
Mm-hmm. Potluck of Love is coming up December 8th. So it's the second Sunday of each month. That's where I got the two.
Right.
So, but it's once a month, December 8th, 6 p.m. Where does it meet?
So we have decided, we were meeting in one location, but we've decided we like kind of rotating homes. So if they reach out to me via a text or email, I'll let you know each month where we're at. It's been really nice. It truly is like going to your family's house for dinner. A couple of us do it more than others, but you just bring a little food and talk. And like this Sunday, we're doing a bring a pair of socks that remind you of your person. And then we'll have our own little sock gift exchange. And that way, like, I know mine will probably have something to do with the Yankees. And so somebody else can be thinking about my husband when they get dressed one morning. So it's just a kind way to be able to talk about the person we love and lost, do a gift exchange, and still, like I said, I wouldn't say it's fun, but it is incredibly kind and supportive to each other.
Right. So. What about those who get tired of grieving? What about those who like the idea of maybe having a community support group, but really don't want to be there in the first place, right? Because no one wants to have to endure grief. Mm-hmm. What do you say to those people? I'm sure it's you can just come and sit if you like.
Yes, absolutely, right? This isn't therapy. We're not digging into what happened and how are you feeling and where are you going. And we do have a therapist, by the way, though, that does join us, so that if you do need someone, there is someone there. Grief is, there's a lot of shame around grief. Like, maybe you should have it together by now. And one of the things that I've really learned is the second year is harder than the first. The first, people are there for all your anniversaries. People remember what happened. You're very cognizant of what's coming up. That second year is really hard. You have just found your normal life. So you feel like you're still grieving and you get tired, like you said, tired of it, when really coming to a group or finding your own support group of any kind will help you get through that kind of bump of, ugh, this is my life now. Now I have to rebuild and redesign it. And this is what normal, if you will, is going to look like now. So finding something is I can't stress it enough, is whether it's us or a therapist or a church group, I don't care what you choose, but find something, because it's a hard, hard, hard road. And not just because I went through suicide. I mean, losing a parent is tough. And my initial reason for doing this is I watched my husband's sisters and friends really suffer because they didn't know where to go or what to do. And none of them are here. But I thought, if there's got to be people like them here who have lost a friend and don't know what to do, and especially around suicide, I know his friends were really hurting. And we want those people to come to Potluck of Love too, like, talk about it and ask us, like, did you experience so much sadness or so much anger or so much just being lost for a while? And we can all tell you yes.
Does it seem like the grieving journey ever ends?
No. And the problem is, for me, again, I'm only at 2.5 years. This is a lifetime project. I'll be having a really good day or week, or things are going well, and then dang it, if a song doesn't come on the radio that sends you reeling for the whole day. And it's hard to walk into work or look at your friends and be like, I just can't do it today. I got thrown off track and I can't get back on today. Ask me again tomorrow. But I think that's really hard. And then with kids, one of the things I've learned, again, I'm not a therapist, but I've watched this, is they have to grieve at major events as the person at that age. So my kids were 13 and 15 when they lost their dad. I just took one to college in the fall. And so now he had to go through the process of grieving and missing his dad at 18 and at a new event. And so they'll go through this at all their major events, and to help them prepare for it and help them honor their dad or your person during those times is really important. You're not going to know how you're going to feel, but you can plan, like, what, like, my son wore one of my husband's ties to high school graduation. You know, I had certain pictures to give him when he left to go to college, because they have to go through this at all these major events for the rest of their lives. And I do too, but I was an adult when he died, so I grieve as an adult, ideally.
You also, I just wanted to mention, had said this in the green room, that your son was at the high school mm-hmm. when your husband passed away, and mm-hmm. that Sam Walsh, who we know and love, mm-hmm. was really great in helping mm-hmm. him begin his grieving process. Mm-hmm. And as we know, for children, it's so different.
Yes, so the high school has phenomenal program. I felt like it was really good. The kids that have lost a sibling or parent, which sadly it's a huge group of kids in our community. They started it last week, because now my daughter's at the high school. They did start last week. They really helped them get through the holidays, just knowing that other people are going through things. Not all the kids that have lost someone go to the group, but it is there for them. And if you do have a child at the high school that has had a huge loss, you'd want to reach out to her, because it's really good for those kids to know they're not the only ones. It's very lonely for them. And once they see who else has lost someone and what the whole story was, it was really helpful. Mm-hmm. And that really helped us around, I think, around the stigma of suicide.
Well, and there's also another great, maybe as you were speaking, it made me think about the Cole Project, which is a Park City-based nonprofit that is mm-hmm. geared to teens, and mm-hmm. it's therapy through music. Mm-hmm. And so I would really recommend anybody who has a mm-hmm. teen who is grieving mm-hmm. to look into. They just started a brand new program called Messages of Hope. So look into the Cole Project.
She's amazing.
As well. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Very, very good. Well, mm-hmm. Potluck of Love, again, meeting Sunday, this mm-hmm. coming December 8th mm-hmm. at 6 p.m. And you're meeting where, or can anyone who's go interested go to Connect?
Yes, go on the Connect website. My email and phone number are on there. Just reach out to me and okay. I'll give you the address.
So you'll post each month. So yes. It's connectsummitcounty.org. And just want to mention that this teaming up, I mean, it's part of what Connect does, is mm-hmm. Helping to provide mental health services and destigmatizing mental illness and fostering mental wellness in our community. So that's why Amber's joining us. And thanks for sharing your story as well. And best of luck to you both. It's a really great project that you're doing. So
thanks
for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Thanks for tuning in to The Mountain Life. If you missed part of the show or want to share it, all our shows are posted within the hour on kpcw.org under the Shows tab. We also podcast all of KPCW's Public Affair Hour shows. Wherever you find your podcasts, you can find them under KPCW and the individual show name. So look for KPCW The Mountain Life and take us with you on your next road trip or commute.